I'm going to share now.
Is that Facebook making a little lower? Is that right? Yeah?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay, hello everyone. We're going to wait a few minutes just in case anyone else wants to join. We know.
Here's the thing. When you pull out the bottom one,
1 minute holdover. Okay. Welcome everyone. It's Dalid Nisan. Wait another minute until we begin. We begin at 6:01. A little. Okay, it's not 6:01. Dalid Nisan, March 29th. Nice to see so many of you back after Shabbos. I hope you had a peaceful, restful Shabbos. For those who are joining us, haven't had joined us for a while, we try to focus every day on a different aspect of the coronavirus crisis for religious people. We're obviously experiencing this crisis as human beings, protecting ourselves, maintaining public health, worrying about those in our immediate surroundings, as well as the entire world, but we're also religious people, and these are raising challenges, opportunities, thoughts on many levels. Our faith, our view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our tefillos, our chesed, our personal behavior, our midos, our view of the world, our exposure to mitzvahs that we hadn't thought about before as much, like Lo Samot Al Dam Riecha. So today I'd like to talk about a very interesting issue. There's no question that any believing person feels that this pandemic is a message, and there are many messages, and I've cautioned you before not to be simplistic about the messages and not just to say, for example, terrible, oh, the coronavirus is because of homosexual behavior, some cleric in Iran said that, or any direct telescopic pointing a finger that's morally repugnant, it's theologically troublesome to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are messages, broader messages that we're all taking and trying to learn from. And one of them, of course, probably the most powerful one, is that human beings, as technologically advanced as we are, living in the modern era, having brought the microbial world to its feet in the past century, having vaccinated and immunized against all these areas, now we realize we're not as in control as we thought. We don't have any being to rely on. Ein lanu melech alata, aseimon, etztaka, v'chesed, v'yoshienu, v'lukta kodesh baruch hu, avad manos mimeni, ein derash l'nashi, we look right and left, and there's no one to help us but the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's a message that many of us have processed, I'm sure. I've read about, I've heard about, I've processed. But let's become a little bit more specific about that message, because this pandemic is a little bit different. It's not the normal butting up against the ceiling of human achievement. It's a little bit different, and the more resolution the more clarity. The sharper this message becomes, the more we'll be able to process it. The typical way that human beings reach their limit and realize they don't know as much as they thought and they're more reliant upon a higher being, the typical experience or phenomena is when there's something that lays or lies beyond our grasp. We can't understand it. There's something that befuddles us, that mystifies us. We just don't understand it. And then we realize it's something beyond, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Probably the phrases in Tanakh that voice this best, for example, the phrase in Yeshaya, Nun Vav, which we recite during a Tanit Sibur. Ki lo machshiv osai machshiv osechem, v'lo darchechem derachayinu Hashem. My thoughts are not like your thoughts are not like my thoughts. We're not even on the same playing field. There's no relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intellect and our intellect. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a higher being, can understand issues we can't understand. Or as Yirmiyah says in Perek Lamed Beis, Gadol Haitza V'Rav Halilia. In that case, Yirmiyah is not facing ideas he can't understand, but historical trajectories, because he's in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is becoming conquered by the Babylonians. Hashem in Perek Lamed Beis wants Yirmiyah to purchase land as a sign of redemption. Yirmiyah says, this is ridiculous, and I'm a Navi, and I get the concept of divine intervention, but I don't understand the historical trajectory. How could I buy land in a city that's about to be ransacked or rampaged? Hashem says, you don't realize I work in different ways. 1,000 years for me. These are moments when we encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's clear that we can't even process his ideas. We can't even process history. We can't even process another expression, Eov. Eov is not looking at strange historical trajectories. Eov is looking at the problem of evil in this world. Why is such evil in this world? Why do righteous people suffer? He's righteous. Why does he suffer? And at a certain point, the answer, the only answer, is Hashem comes to him in Perek Lamed Zayin, Perek Lamed Ches, from the storm. Vayan Hashem is Eov me'asara vayomar. Were you there when I founded the earth? Have you called the morning stars into action? Have you explored the depths of the sea? And of course Eov hasn't. He doesn't know what's at the bottom of the ocean. He can't imagine the galaxy. So, of course, he's humble because he's butting up or he's encountering a level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom that he can't fathom, that he can't wrap his head around. So, of course, he submits. That's the typical moment of submission, of human capability to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's superior knowledge, ability, intellect. Probably the Perek in Tehillim that captures it best is Perek Tzadik Beis. A parak which Adam Harishon recited first, so he's looking at the creation and everything confuses him. Adam isn't a scientist. I mean, whatever he knows supernaturally, but doesn't have the scientific knowledge we possess. And he exclaims, and we say this every Friday night, Ma Gadlo Masecha Hashem. How great, how beyond, Ma'od Amku. It's so deep, I'll never understand it. I'll never fully grasp it. And then he actually starts to explore the question of theodicy, Bifrach, Rishaim, Kemo, Esev, when the wicked people thrive like grass and the tzaddikim suffer. So he's also in an Eov moment. He's not suffering the same way Eov is, but these are the typical human moments in which we hit our ceiling, we can't transcend our limitations, and we submit to the superior knowledge of the Rabbonu Shalom. We say this every day in Ashrei. Gadol Hashem u'mulom miyod, v'ligdulaso ein cheker. There is no probing. There is no science. There's no understanding. You're beyond. We can't get you. We realize that. Going back to Yeshaya, we spoke about Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Adam Arishon, David HaMelech, Magadlo, Ma'asecha Hashem, v'ligdulaso ein cheker. And that's how human beings submitted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through previous stages of history. And quite frankly, in previous pandemics, I imagine that the people in the 14th century facing the Black Plague, the religiously minded people, Jew and non-Jew, said, well, we just don't get it. Where is this coming from? We don't understand the bacterial world. We don't understand the microbial. We don't understand the world of infection and contagion. It's magic. It's just happening from nowhere. Magad lu masech Hashem. Ligdu laso ein cheker. Or 100 years ago, 200 years ago, during the cholera outbreak in the early 19th century. Same issue. They barely had knowledge, medical knowledge, at some, until they discovered that it was foul water that caused it. Magadlo Masach Hashem. We're just being infected. We throw our hands up and we rely on you, HaKadosh Baruch. But this pandemic is very, very different. If I talked about before, V'ligdula so ein cheker, we have cheker. We know exactly what causes this virus. We know exactly the DNA makeup of this virus. There's nothing surprising here. We know exactly what's happening. And quite frankly, if there were one COVID patient, we could deal with it. We could attend and heal. So this is in our wheelhouse, as we say. This isn't beyond human knowledge. We're now thousands of years past when man was very rudimentary and archaic in his medical knowledge. Remember, the two great doctors, one is a Greek doctor, one is a Roman doctor, Hippocrates in the 5th century, and Galen in the 3rd century, 5th century BC, Galen. Between Galen in the 2nd or 3rd century Roman, and let's say, I would say, I don't know, the 16th century, very, very, very limited medical developments. It's really the Dark Ages and the Dark Ages for medicine. So when the Black Plague hits, you're right in the middle, 14th century, in the middle of basically stagnant world of medical treatment. But we're not living in the 14th century. We're living in the 21st century. This is after, and by and large, the medical renaissance begins in the 16th century. Vesalius documents the human body, right? If there's printing presses, we can share it with people. So all of a sudden, information is being spread. Of course, William Harvey understands how the blood flows. Others, of course, I have to tell you, the last, more or less, roughly 400 years since the middle of the 17th century, 16th century, basic medicine has changed. So we know exactly what's causing this virus. We can describe it. We can describe it in nice little pictures of little protrusions coming out of the virus. So our appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as beyond is very, very different. And to capture this different, let me read a Rambam to you, because the Rambam also describes encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's otherness. You're the Rambam, this is meant to lead to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, without describing the differences right now. In Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the Rambam writes, how do you fall in love with Hashem? You inspect his world. Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Yerah Mehem Chachmasa She'en La'erech, you see wisdom that has no comparison, so that's the other approach. You can't wrap your head around it. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no baseline. And then he writes, Velokets. There's a level of understanding and appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because there are ideas about how things function beyond our means, beyond our scope, but just the sheer volume and the sheer sweep and the sheer scope. Not erech. Erech means comparison. Rather, ketz. Ketz means limit, volume, quantity, how massive it is. Remember, I spoke before about Perek Lamed Beis in Tehillim, or Tzadik Beis, excuse me, Magadlu Masech Hashem. Let me just get my Tehillim. Okay, what's. Some of you are probably mouthing to yourselves the other pasuk. And the other pasuk is not in Tehillim Tzadik Beis, but it's in Tehillim Kuf Dalet. I couldn't stop thinking about this parak today. Because in this parak, David HaMelech just assesses the entire sweep of nature and the interlocking parts and the balance and the coordination and the symmetry. And at some point, and we'll discuss this parak a little bit today, it doesn't say Ma Gadlu Masech Hashem. He says Ma Rabu Masech Hashem. Very, very powerful difference. Previous pandemics, I think they walked away with the sense of Magadlu Masech Hashem. We don't understand this. We know exactly what's happening, down to the sub-DNA level. And if a few people caught it, we could deal with it. And of course, we don't trivialize any loss of life, but unless it spirals out of control, the amount of older people who are dying from this flu are roughly similar, before it spirals out of control, the amount of people that would die in a normal cold March month from the flu. Obviously, more or less, we don't accept any death. But what's happening is the level of infection, the difficulty in diagnostics, the ease of infection, the 14-day incubation period, it's the numbers. And the numbers start to mount, and the numbers start to grow exponentially, and that curve that we're all watching starts to skyrocket. And in Israel today, people are a little bit confidence, like a little glimmer of hope, because only, you know, I'm saying only, but the numbers didn't grow exponentially, 200, 250, and if we can only be like South Korea. And we're realizing human limits to deal with quantities. That's the limit that we're hitting here. We're not facing ma gadlu masach Hashem, we're facing ma rabu masach Hashem. And that's the theme of Perakuf Dalet. The theme of Perakuf Dalet is how much Hashem creates, the volume, and as I said before, the coordination. So for example, beginning of the Perakuf, a lot of balance, boundaries, coordination. The sea comes in off of the coast and it delivers a lot of, I'm just paraphrasing, I'll read some sukkim that you know. This is the famous Perakuf Barachi Nafshi. So the humidity and the precipitation comes in and Yalu Harim Yaduvakos, and all that precipitation hits the mountains, starts streaming through the mountains. Yuval Samta, Bal Yavor, and Hashem places a boundary so that the sea and the precipitation and the winds don't affect the dry land, whether that's the boundary of the sand, whether it's the boundary of the mountains. But all that force that the ocean brings, winds and storms and rain, it hits the mountains and the mountains repel them, or it hits the sand and the sand keeps it at base. Hashem is dealing with these masses of conflicting forces. And just, I'm reading a little bit later, it goes through all the life that Hashem develops and allows to grow. Tashes choshech basichat. Now it's night. Vehi laila. What happens at night? Bo tirmos. Kol chay soyar. Now all the animals start running and scavenging and rummaging and looking for food because they're basically nocturnal predators. And they're crying, hakafirim shagim latarav levakash mekelechlam. They want their food. What happens? Tizrach Hashemesh, Yehosefer. Now it's sunrise. Everyone out of the pool, back into your caves. El mi'onasem yirbasen. Go back to your caves. Why? Pasachav Gimel. Yetze Adam lefalo. So now it's time for man to work. So it's a balance between the night, nocturnal, the day, the man, the sun, the moon. Viruses that affect the animal kingdom, viruses that affect the human, viruses that make the leap. Ma rabu masach Hashem kulam b'chachma asisa. That pasuk I said before, the very next pasuk, zayam gadol chav yadayim. Just think of the sea. You can have an aquarium. You could imagine that one, but the billions of organisms that live in the sea and the delicate ecosystem that's maintained there. Zayam gadol, the pasuk right after marabu or chav yadayim. Shamremes v'ein mispar. There are creatures that can't be counted. Chayos gedolos in katanas, large and small. So it's a very different feel. And this pandemic is very different. And it's coming at the tail end of a process in which we thought we could deal with large numbers. Because the history of urbanization is about 100, 150 years. 1850, late 19th century, obviously early 20th century, migration, mass migration. All of a sudden, people want to live in larger numbers. And for people to live in larger numbers, man has to develop mechanisms for population control, for dealing. Live in a village, you'll live in a village, and you'll milk your own cow, grow your own chicken, grow your own wheat, and share with your neighbor. And then you've got millions of people living in urban sprawls. We now have to provide medical coverage. And how many people will get sick? Well, we're not going to spend all of our money on unlimited medical supplies because it'll just go to waste in a normal year. So we have to be able, and if so, it's transportation, sanitation, taxation. So we have to create a mechanism for managing those numbers. The mechanism for managing those numbers are statistics. Let's try to predict trends. We have a million people. How many people get sick every winter on average? And we'll provide X plus 10% just to cover it. So we thought we had that all controlled, that we were able to develop numbers, crunch numbers, build cities, build. And that's what we're realizing, that we really can't, because the numbers are going to beat us. So it's really all about numbers. It's not about, what I said, one patient we could deal with. We put them on a respirator or the expected amount of respirators based on the expected amount. Of course, some won't make it, but that's true of any disease. What we're fighting is we're fighting the numbers. We're fighting the inability to protect. We're fighting the mass contagion of larger cities that basically we're creating the Petri dish. Larger cities such as Italy, Spain, New York City, unfortunately now. So it's a very, very different feel. And one other feel, I said this morning, but for the last two, 3 weeks when I said the Avinu Malkeinu, Kalei Dever, Vacherev, Verav, Ushvi, Umashchis, Mibnei Verisecha. So I had a lot of kavanah with Dever because that's what we're facing. We're facing a contagion. We're facing an infestation. I didn't have that much kavanah when I thought about Cherev, military. Right now, things are pretty quiet on the military front in Israel, across the world, Rav, hunger. But what we may face, and this is really the scary part, is we may face the secondary impacts. We may overcome the medical crisis. We could be talking in a few months, retrospectively, I'll remember when our economies were still robust, we still had all the food we need, and we just had to plan our shopping or exit our homes under certain conditions, but we could just deliver from Amazon or just deliver from Superstore online, and it was all. But now we really have food rations, and now we have to be careful about what we eat. Or remember, I mean, there's already signs of social unrest and people, crime and looting, and it's bound to happen, because at a certain point, people are going to be frustrated with being housed, and they're going to be frustrated being housed in their minds, not for their own sake, but for the sake of older generations or other people. At some point, kettle is going to burst, and you're going to have Cherev or Shvi. You may have countries battling each other for resources. So it's the unraveling and the domino effect that we're facing also, that even if we can handle one crisis or Marshall, how do we coordinate everything? How do we keep an economy intact and social harmony and military security and economic, how do we keep that all in tow? That's the feel of this pandemic. It's a very, very different feel. It's not like the past where we were just groping in the dark and we had no clue. And that's why you have to change your frequency a little bit, because if you process, oh, we don't know anything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're reminded of how much more HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows than we do. That's not really true. You turn on the news and there are medical professionals describing the type of contagion, describing the healing, fixing people to respirators. So there's this disconnect, and they're to you. You're talking the talk, but then when it comes time to actually living and processing, it's not real. It's not authentic. The authentic part is we're at the point where Hashem has touched us. Hashem has given us technology. Hashem has enabled us, but we're hitting numbers and volume and size and coordination and symmetry, and that's that we're discovering the human limit, and we're discovering that we can appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability, not just in the qualities we say, but in quantity. As Rambam says, not just Ein La'erach, that we can't grasp it, but Ein La'kates. It's the sweep and the mass of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Briah. So Mirtz Hashem will continue to meet this week. I don't like to plug other shiurim, but just to let people know, Mirtz Hashem are going to be starting a 10-part series on the Makos. I try to get people to see the Makos from a fresh perspective. So this year, the fresh perspective is Makos and Corona. We'll go through each Maka, each night a different Maka. Not my 15, 20 minutes. Again, I like these shirim to be long. I'll just highlight what aspects of the coronavirus experience were latent in each Maka. Because the Makos weren't just punishments. They were educational moments, and they were lessening or educating the Egyptians in the world. And now we're part of that educational classroom, because we have obviously lessons to learn. So also the Jewish people are being selected, although there are certain makos which the Jews were selected out. We'll try to get a handle. So it's probably going to be 10 o'clock tonight. I've got a whole series of Zoom shiurim that I was already obligated to. So we're going to start this year at 10:30 Israel time. Again, 15, 20 minutes. Everyone's welcome to come take a look back again. All these shiurim, the videos and the audios are placed respectively. The videos on the Yeshivat HaRetzion YouTube site and the audios on YUTAR. So everyone should have a good, healthy day. It's good to see everyone, and have a great, great, meaningful, and productive week. And anyone who wants to join my WhatsApp chat, I also give a 5-10 minute WhatsApp chat every day.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Good to see everyone. Good to hear
thank
everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see you. Names, people, pictures.
Thank you.
Great.
Hi, Eliezer. How's Boston? What's new in Boston?
Not much. I've been pretty much at home, but yesterday my shul rabbi, he invited the guys from Israel to his lawn in a safe distance just to say hello.
That's nice. Who's the rabbi?
Rabbi Chessis.
Oh. Send him my regards and speak with you, Josh. See you, Josh.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cool. Bye.